want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. Well, thank God. I want to welcome everyone to the broadcast today. It's a beautiful day here in North Texas and in other places like Hawaii. Father, I just give thanks for all the listeners. I thank you for all that are in authority. I thank you for President Trump, Vice President Vance, the House, the Senate, the Congress, the courts of this land. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. I thank you for all authority. I thank you, Father, that local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies are your authority. And I thank you for being with them and your angels encamping round about them and keeping them protected. Thank you once again for all the listeners, that you grant them a spirit of grace and open up their hearts and open their ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. All right, I'm going to be talking about the parable of the sower. You know, and this parable is the mystery of the kingdom of God. And if once you get the revelation of this parable, you can know all the parables. So it's the most parable. It's the most important parable in the Bible. But let's start at Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm going to read that in the common English Bible. Happy are people who have pure hearts, for they shall see God. Now this word pure in the Greek means clean and clear. A clean heart can see God clearly. Okay, let's look at that. Let's look at Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Okay, you know, I used to read this about how you could see God clearly by looking at creation. But I thought, well, it's not real clear to me, or it wasn't years ago. But if you read the previous scripture, it says God has made known to these people about himself. That's why it's clear to them. So God can make known himself to you and me, but we will only see him when he shows himself to us, or as we get our hearts purified, then we can see God clearly all the time. You know, God's fingerprints are all over creation, but the sin in us blinds us to it. But the pure in heart, they can see God. Turn to Titus 1:15. I'll show you this. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. You know, we see what's right and wrong with our conscience. The word pure here is used three times, and that's used three times in Scripture. They're all the same Greek word that's used in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, clean and clear. So let's read that again. Unto the pure, clean and clear in heart. All things are pure. They're clear. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Nothing's clear. But even their minds and their conscience is defiled. Now this word defiled means sully, taint, and Vine's Expository Dictionary defines defiled as to dye with another color or as the staining of glass. You know, when you look through a regular glass window, you see clearly through it. But if you look through a stained glass window, like in a church, you can't see through to the other side. That's what a defiled heart is like. God is all around you. He's all around you and me, but we can't always see him. But blessed, happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see him. And I'm telling you, as you get your heart purified, you'll see God more and more. You know, a hard heart is a blind heart and an unbelieving heart. And the key to overcoming anything in the kingdom of God is, and like many things in life, is first diagnose the problem. And if you can get past that and not let it bother you things that are wrong with your heart, and don't be condemned about it, that your heart still has sin in it, you know, even after you've received the Lord, and not let it stop you from believing, you'll get the victory. See? But, you know, when you start dealing with people's lives, they start to see things about them that are not right. Some people get angry at you for showing them or speaking about it. Other people feel condemned or down. But if you can just recognize that, you know, we were already, when we were born, we didn't have it all together, okay? And only God can straighten us out. You know, doubt and unbelief is a terrible thing. God calls unbelief evil. And we all got it. But God wants to set us free. Hebrews chapter 3, turn there. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I'm going to tell you something. When I got past feeling bad about things that weren't right about my heart and where I could receive correction, I made a great step forward. And the Word of God doesn't offend me like it used to. Anyway, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's what deceives the human race, sin in them. See what the sin in you can do if you let it. It will blind you. We saw that. You can't see clearly through the glass. It will lead you astray. But you don't have to let it. Walk in the Word of God. Believe the gospel. And you can keep getting the sin nature cleansed out of you. Let's read that Hebrews 3, 12, 13, New Life Version. Christian brothers, be careful that none of you has a heart so bad that it will not believe. See? And will turn away from the living God. Help each other. Speak day by day to each other while it's still today. So your heart will not become hard by being fooled by sin. You know, when you get in unbelief, your heart will deceive you. I'm going to tell you, I mean, you're going to find out why people are deceived. The way we see things. See, when you get in unbelief, your heart will deceive you. And the way you see things in life depends on whether you believe or not. Let me show you this. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 through 9. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now here is a heart that's not trusting God. For he shall be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. When you're not trusting God, you're not believing God, you can't even see when God's trying to bring good upon you. But shall inhabit the parched place in the wilderness, salt land and not inhabited. So this person is unbelief, can't see when good cometh. Now look at the man that trusts God. Verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Now, look how the person who believes, how he sees things. We saw how a person views things that's in unbelief. They can't even see when good's coming. But look how a person that believes God, for he should be like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. See, person who believes God, they don't even see when the heat coming. You know, going through all kinds of problems, doesn't even bother them. Don't even pay attention to it. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, our hearts don't stay that way. Thank God. Once you receive the Lord, you begin to become spiritually regenerated. See, now, the heart of a person is deceitful above all things. And I believe it's the deceitfulness of sin that we read about in Hebrews 3 in the heart that makes your heart that way. But sin can be taken out. And then as that sin is taken out, you can have a true heart and full assurance of faith. And that'll come about as it's cleansed by faith in the blood of Jesus. But in the meantime, you don't have to let your heart deceive you. And the way you don't is you just exercise yourself to walk in the Word of God and believe God. Okay, let's go ahead and get in today's message about the parable of the sower. And, you know, Jesus said, if you don't know this parable, how will you know all parables? And after Jesus sat down with them and he opened up this parable to them, he said, blessed are your eyes for what they see and your ears for what they hear. For many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things you are seeing and hear the things you're hearing and have not heard them. And God gave me a revelation of this parable back in 2008. All right, Matthew 13:3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony place, where they had not much earth. And forthwith it sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root. They withered away. Some fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up and choked them. Others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now that right there will tell you why some Christians are developed so much spiritually. Some bear more fruit. Some bear even way more fruit. 100-fold. All right. When anyone, go down to verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then come up the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Okay, so now we know the ground that the Lord's talking about is our hearts. The seed is the word of God. Every seed produces after its kind. Therefore, it will produce in you the characteristics and the traits of God in us. It'll produce the love of God in our heart. It'll produce all these characteristics and traits that fall under love. I don't know about you, but that's what I want in my heart. I want the love of God to grow up in me. I want to be controlled by the love of God. That's a great way to live, folks. And this parable tells you how to get it. Let's go ahead and we'll take a break here. And let's put in a song. Let's put in Shadow of His Wings by Pamela Pontiac. All right. If people really believed how victorious they'd be as they bear the fruit of the Spirit, and that's what happens when the Word of God conceives in your heart, you'll bear the fruit of the Spirit. They would put forth much effort to yield to God and bear this fruit. Because you not only, the love of God grows up in your heart, but I'm telling you, and I'm gonna keep speaking this to people until they get the revelation. It becomes more and more plain to me. When you bear the fruit of the Spirit, you can move in the Spirit. And you can walk in the Spirit. And then you can overcome anything. Okay, back to the parable of the sower. But he that receives seed, verse 20, into stony places, saying that heareth the word and not with joy receive it. Yet he had not root in himself, but endured for a while. When tribulation persecuted riseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word, understand, which also bear fruit, bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So the word of God, like I said, will produce the fruit of the Spirit in your heart. Once your heart has been prepared to receive that seed, and those that bear this fruit will overcome the world. So it's the uttermost importance that we submit to God. And you know, until you begin to get your heart opened up, these words won't mean a whole lot to you. But when you get revelation of this, and you begin to, this begins to become real to you, you go, oh my God, I'm going to go from a person that was under the circumstances to rising above the circumstances. A person that was affected, moved all around by problems and hassles in life, rises above every obstacle in life. Okay. So, you know, you can compare this preparation of heart to like preparing the soil to plant crops. And the Lord made it very simple. And so you don't just throw seed on top of the soil and then come back months later looking for a harvest. So just consider this. A person can go to church or tune into a broadcast like what I'm doing right now and hear the Word of God. And those that are having their heart prepared, the Word of God will be getting it, the Word of God will be getting it and begin to make changes. But those that won't submit to the Lord, won't let Him prepare their hearts, they won't change. And, you know, I'll tell you this. Let me say this. Let's get back to the first heart. Okay, the first heart that we talked about was the wayside heart. And that's in verses 4 and 19. And this heart doesn't understand the Word of God being spoken to it. Therefore, the devil can steal the word out of that person's heart. See, because we're going to go through these hearts and show you how to get your heart dealt with, prepared like soil is prepared, so the Word of God can take root in your heart. And this is what will make changes in your life. Go to Mark 4:15. And these are they by the wayside. Okay, here's the wayside heart. The word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. So just consider this. These people with a wayside heart don't even get out of church, the church building, or finish listening to the broadcast, and the devil has already stolen the word out of their heart. Therefore, they don't bear fruit. Now, let me say this. Intellectual people will scoff when you talk about the devil. They think it's nonsense, thinking there's a devil. Well, let me tell you something. The devil is a spirit, and he's real, and he's our enemy. Let's take a sidetrack here and look at this for a second. 1 Corinthians 2:14, International Standard Version. A person who isn't spiritual doesn't accept the things of God's Spirit, for they are nonsense to him. He can't understand them because they're spiritually evaluated. So, you know, when you start hearing about the devil and hearing about spirits, it sounds like nonsense. Spiritual things sound like nonsense. But I'm going to tell you something. God can open up your heart and reveal these things to you, and you'll know this is real. So, this wayside heart. How does the Lord fix the wayside heart? Well, it's simple. God will give you understanding through a minister or directly to you if you'll seek after the things of God. You know, understanding is to put together, comprehend, know the meaning of something, to grasp a hold of it. And a minister with the spirit of truth in his heart and mouth will be putting the word of God together. Or he'll be ministering a spirit of understanding or by the Spirit of Intercession, we'll put the Word of God together like a putting one piece of the puzzle together at a time. And as you get understanding, you will begin to grasp the hold of the truth, and then the devil can no longer steal the Word out of your heart. Now, how does the devil work against you from getting understanding of God's Word? And it's real simple. He'll use ministers or anybody he can use to sow confusion in your heart, teach lies. Look at Ephesians 4:13, New International Version. Till we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. So these people teaching deceit put confusion in people's heart. You know what the definition of confusion is? Lack of understanding, uncertainty, to be unclear about something in one's mind. These people teaching these different winds of doctrine are confusing people. They're causing people to be tossed to and fro, which is vacillating. It's causing people to doubt. It's making it where they cannot understand. These people, they're propelled by the devil to speak confusion and cause people to have a wayside heart, or to keep them in that condition where they can never get the Word of God conceived in their heart. All right? And I thought I was going to deal more with it and go into it, but I don't think I'm going to have time in this podcast to deal with the different teachings. I'm just speaking more in a general sense right now. But I can take you one teaching after another and show you where it's deceit. And the reason they've missed is because in most cases, they don't take the whole counsel of God and put it all together. What they do is because I can teach you just about, I can take almost any teaching in the Word of God and misapply it if I pull it out of context or don't teach the whole counsel of God. And when you teach the whole counsel of God, and once it all starts fitting together, that's when you know you got it right. Okay, let's move on. Verse 20, the next part. But he that receives seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. Oh man, this is so good. They hear about Jesus dying for their sin. They're forgiven. They're going to heaven. They got eternal life and prosperity, financial prosperity is part of the gospel. Health and healing is part of the gospel. Oh, this is wonderful. Okay. Verse 21. Yet he have not rooted himself, but endure for a while. For when tribulation, persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. See, now if the devil can't steal the word of God out of your heart, then the next plan of attack is to work on your hard heart. And that's the stony ground, your hard heart. And he'll be working on it to get you offended. By persecuting you, pressuring you, and giving you, you know, putting all kinds of pressure on you. And it hurts. It hurts a hard heart. When your heart's hard, pressure hurts you. The more you get your heart broken, pressure won't bother you. The more you get established in the Word of God and the faith, the more you get established in faith, the less you'll be moved by the afflictions. And so it gets better. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. God showed me this many years ago. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. So the devil's coming after you. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are copied of your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, will make you. Now look at this. You're standing against the devil, resist him steadfast in the faith. And what does it do for you? It makes you perfect, established, strength, etc. So the devil comes at you either directly or uses someone to try to hurt you, put you down, and the devil can use them because they got hate or strife or unforgiveness in them. And the purpose of the devil coming after you is to make you, what he wants to do is make you a bitter person. He wants to offend your hard heart. He would like to put hate in you or strife in you and unforgiveness. And I've watched him do that to people. I've met people before that were nice people, but they got offended because someone hurt them, and then they got hate in them and strife in them. A lot of times, when you meet people that are hateful and stuff like that, it was because somebody did that to them, and they didn't react in the right way. They didn't know how to resist that. They didn't know that was the devil using that person to come after them. See, Now, let me show you in Ephesians 6 how the devil used people. And so for those of you that haven't already seen this in Ephesians 6, I'll show you where the devil used people. Turn to verse 10. Okay, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. Okay, so we have to stand against the wiles, the methods, the tricks of the devil. Now read the next verse and we'll see who the devil is using. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that's people, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, worlds, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These spirits are real. Okay, there are principalities, there are powers, there are rulers of the darkness world, and there is spiritual wickedness. You know, many years ago, God operated the gift of discerning spirits in me. That's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. And he revealed to me about evil spirits. And I could see them. I didn't see their shapes, but I saw them in operation. So I know they're very real. And I know how the devil tried to deceive people. Oh, that's nonsense. There's no such thing as a devil. How crazy. Yeah, that's what he doesn't want you to know he exists. So he can keep working against you and not have you resist him. Okay, why does it say we're not wrestling flesh and blood? Because people will come after you, speak mean things to you, do bad things against you, but it's evil spirits using them. That's what's behind this. And he uses them because, like I said, they're hateful hearts. But it's a devil using them. Now, once again, I know it sounds crazy saying we're fighting against evil spirits, but it's the truth. Now, those of you that are spiritual, you know what I'm saying. It's true. And those of you don't know, if you seek after the truth, God will show you all these things as you walk with him. But, you know, it gets back to blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That goes for all kinds of spiritual things, to see the thing, to recognize the devil. Get your heart purified, you can see. All right? Okay, let's look at what Mark says about the stony heart. Mark 4:17, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. But since they don't have deep root, see, now it's comparing the heart, a stony heart, to like throwing seed on the soil, but it doesn't get down into the soil, doesn't take root. They don't last long. They fall away. And as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word, let me read that in whole context. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Now, some of the translators say, when persecution and affliction come on you, when pressure comes, it comes on you for putting the word of God in your heart. And we read that. Persecution, affliction comes to the word, say, or keeping the word. So what you do is you exercise yourself not to be offended, but keep obeying God. That pressure, as you do that, that pressure will actually work for your good to break your stony heart. Just like as you resist the devil steadfast in faith, he's coming after you. You're being perfected. You know, I like to tell the devil this because I felt these spirits come against me. I felt pressure come on me like you cannot believe. And I'm just telling you, those of you don't know if this is right. I'm telling you, I'm of sound mind and honest tongue. I'm not making these things up. But I have had spirits come against me and pressure me, and it was unreal. I just resist them steadfast the faith. But I would tell the devil, I said, well, yeah, you go ahead. Hit me with your best shot, devil, because the word of God says, as I resist you, I'm going to be perfected. And I'm going to be established, strengthened, settled. So if I'll stay in faith and resist the devil in faith, it works for my good. Now, well, why would the devil do that then? Because he's brought a lot of people down. He's using that pressure to get people offended, to get them to turn away from God, all right? But if you'll believe and stay in faith, resist the devil in faith, it'll work for your good. Okay, on to the next kind of heart, Matthew 13:22. And you could do study after study on this parable of the sower. It's in Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. And I encourage you to do that. Okay, verse 22, Matthew 13:22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and become unfruitful. Now we know with the wayside heart, the devil raised up people to speak confusion and to keep you from ever getting understanding so he can steal the word out of your heart. Now, if the devil wants to steal the word out of your heart, you want to keep the word in your heart and get understanding. All right, next heart is a stony heart. He wants to try to get you offended so that you'll fall away. He does not want you getting your heart broken so that seed can take root in your heart. Both places, he doesn't want to take a root. Now here, what do you think he's going to do with this heart with thorns? See, if he can't steal the word out of your heart, he'll persecute and afflict you and bring all kinds of hardship. And you know, the devil, he'll paint a picture on the screen of your imagination of how bad it is to serve God and try to offend you. And if none of that works, then he'll tempt you with all kinds of lust, fill your heart with cares, and try to get you to, you know, he'll use that to choke the word out of your heart. And you know, until you get your heart changed, you don't care about the things of God. I talked about that little about the parable of the bottles. And so it takes time to get all this stuff worked out, because you read the word of God a little bit. Because even I had a great desire for God. God put that in my heart. And I'd read the word of God a little bit. And I enjoy that. But then I want to go around doing this, and fill my heart with cares and lust and all these other things. And God slowly delivered me from that stuff. Now, I enjoy a lot of things in life, but I've learned to follow God in what I do. But the devil wants to choke the word out of your heart. So you're going to have to let the Lord work this out. This is so important. But if you're not wasting your time if you're letting God do up your heart. If you're just religious and go to church and go through the motion, you just be a religious person. You may outward learn how to be a nice person, be loving and kind, you know, but you can clean up the outside of the cup and still be ravening and wicked inside. Okay, now let's look at how we have to be corrected so the word can take root in the heart. Hebrews 12:11. So consider this about correction in light of the preparation of the heart. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous, burdensome, heavy. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the nature of God unto them which are exercised thereby. Okay, so you're going to correction. It's not joyous, it's grievous. But you want to stick with it because it's going to bear fruit. Verse 12 says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, feeble knees. Now, why is it saying that? Because you get weary going through some of the stuff. You get tired of it, you know. It's grievous, you get tired of being corrected. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Now see, let me read the rest of it. But let it rather be healed. Now why does it say get turned out of the way? Because a lot of people, the devil's pressing them, he's coming after them, their heart hurts, doesn't feel good, they don't like good, and then God's correcting them, they have a chance to get offended, be turned out of the way. But if you stick with it, if you just keep resisting the devil steadfast in the faith, you're going to be perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. That's bearing that fruit. If you keep letting God correct you, you're going to bear the fruit of righteousness. Okay? Now, I have some experience in the ways of God, and some things can only be learned by experience. So we have to be corrected by God so the heart can be prepared to receive the word. And it's hard at times. And it can be humbling. And when you're going through these things, the devil will come. He'll move in. He'll tempt you and say things like, isn't that terrible what God's putting you through? See, isn't that horrible? How could a loving God do that to you? Well, a loving God, anytime, let me tell you what I do. This really helped me a lot. Maybe this will help you. Because you got to find ways to resist these temptations. So, you know, because I used to have a heart that I thought God was unrighteous. And the devil gave me plenty of reasons to believe that. He goes, look at these people suffering. How could a loving God do that? And I would take the word of God and I said, well, you know what? It says there's no unrighteousness of God. So it says, lean not to your own understanding. Trust the Lord in all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And I said, you know what? God knows he's righteous. And there's no way my heart can see everything and know and put everything in proper perspective. So I'm just going to believe that. And let God show me and give me understanding that he is righteous. And then, of course, he proved his love for us and that he sent his son to die for us. Now, you ever thought about this? Jesus was the Lord from heaven, and he came down, was born of a virgin. He took upon a human body. He walked the earth, and his sole purpose was to go to the cross and be crucified for us. And he knew He knew where he was headed. He knew what he's going to have to go through. He had to be beaten. He had to be nailed to a cross to pay for our sins. He had every bone of his body dislocated. He had the sin of the world placed upon him. He had the sickness of the world placed upon him. He interceded for us on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then he descended down into hell for 3 days to pay our punishment. If dying on the cross wasn't enough, then he was raised from the dead. So that's what I would hang on to anytime I thought God was unfair or I didn't understand this or I didn't understand that. I said, well, I'm going to hold on to that God proved his love and that Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead. And God says there's no unrighteousness with him. And so if that God was unrighteous, why? If it was unrighteous for God not to step in and do this or that, he would know it. So now you can believe your own heart above the word of God, but I'm making the choice that I'm going to believe the word of God above my own heart. You can use your heart as the standard for what's right, but I know that my heart is deceitful. And once I get it purified, I'll see things clearly. And someday I'll understand why everything is the way it is. I don't understand everything. I don't know why it is this way. I don't know why God does this or does that in every situation or why he doesn't do this or that. But you see, we look through a glass, it's dark, and we only see in part. But in the days to come, we're going to see everything clearly. Okay? So if you can take some of those things, if that will help you, then thank God. But I'm going to tell you something. I've had God reveal himself to me, and he is love, and he is the most wonderful person you have ever met. And yes, God is three persons, and that's hard to understand with the intellect, but there is a Father, and there is a Son, and there is a Spirit, and they're all one with each other, and they all together created the heaven and the earth. You say, I don't understand. I don't either, but that's the way it is. All right. But God is love. And I don't just read what the Word of God says. I know it by revelation. All right. He's a wonderful person. He described himself and he said he was merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundance of goodness and truth. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. Now, let me say this. Everybody has troubles in life. Everybody experiences disappointments. Everybody has sometimes they're sad. But you know what? You can go through that and it may not do you any good. You know, it says the sorrow of the world, work of death. But let me tell you this, if you'll obey God, all the bad things can be used for our good. And we just read correction from God. It's grievous. It's not fun, but it's good for us. So in conclusion, after you get understanding, get your heart broken, keep the word of God in your heart, get delivered from all the cares and the other desires that are choking the word in your heart, and your heart is made good and honest, then you will bear the fruit of the Spirit and you'll be an overcomer. And, you know, I've talked about that in other podcasts, and I'm going to continue to talk about it. I love to talk about it. I love talking about the love of God. Is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? We're talking about the new creature of Christ. It says the love of Christ constraineth us. It controls us. The more we're transformed, the more we live by the love of God, and his love controls us. All right. Okay, I'm up to 34 minutes. I'm getting closer to keeping my podcast from being too long. Adding the song in there, probably be about 38 minutes. So getting better at this. Anyway, I hope everybody's having a great day out there today. I hope this is an encouragement to all of you out there. You know, there's some of us that we've been through things and we can help you. We can help you in your walk with the Lord, because there were times I had some dark days that I went through in my earlier years, and it was hard. But the more I get the Word of God established in my heart, the more I'm not moved. So anyway, the Word of God says that you must be born again. You need to be spiritually regenerated. It says, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So you can't even begin to get your eyes open until you start to get spiritually regenerated. And as you receive the Lord as your Lord and Savior, then the Spirit of Christ will enter into you. And Jesus didn't say it, but it's in Paul wrote about it in Romans 8, and he said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So you want to make sure you're born again, you're saved. So say this prayer, Lord Jesus, I just receive you. Say it after me. Repeat it after me. Jesus, I just receive you. I thank you for being my Lord and my Savior. I thank you. You died for me. You were buried. God raised you from the dead. God the Father raised you from the dead. All right. That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.